The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
On the attack across the line, whips it rink wide to the right side. Toffoli back to Wennberg now on the point. Leads it right side to Eklund. He's up on the blue line. Eklund moving to his left, drifting it off to his right. There's Celebrini, top of the right circle, stick handling, shooting, save made. There's a rebound in front, poked at. It pops back to Toffoli. He shoots it, save. Rebound not cleared out. Celebrini feeds it over to Eklund. Now to Toffoli, blast it. He scores! Tyler Toffoli in overtime. And the San Jose Sharks have defeated the Dallas Stars 5-4. And the miracles continue at SAP Center, and the fans love it.
There's a big belief in that dressing room right now that we can win hockey games and we can play with the best of them. So I'd say that's the biggest thing that we're seeing right now is there's belief. Even in going into the third period, you felt like we were going to win the hockey game. That was the expectation, and we had good motive and went up and did that. Even, you know, we went down 4-2, we found a way to claw back in and find a way to win a hockey game, and that really comes down to belief.
Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? It is Sunday, January 11th, and we are waking up winners once again. The San Jose Sharks with yet another, and don't call it improbable because it's happening too often for that word, but another thrilling, exciting, entertaining, and remarkable win, this time coming down twice from two goal deficits to win 5-4 in overtime. Game-winning goal scored by Tyler Toffoli, assisted by William Eklund and Macklin Celebrini. The San Jose Sharks no longer occupying a wild card spot. They are now the third team in the Pacific Division. They are 2 points back of Edmonton, and they are 3 points back of Vegas, who they play tonight at 5. And they have the most wins of those three teams. Now, granted, they have played fewer games than Edmonton, and Edmonton has 7 overtime losses to the 3 of San Jose. But San Jose is a team that is demanding you take them seriously, that is insisting that you don't talk about them being a cute startup team. They are telling everyone that we are here to stay. I think that is the ultimate message we are seeing as we've taken these first 10 days into the month of January and into the calendar year of 2026, the second half of the season, as the San Jose Sharks rolling. Again, 23-18-3. That is 5 games above hockey 500, but more importantly to me, that is 2 games above true 500. The San Jose Sharks have not had that since the start of the 2021 season, the 21-22 season for specificity, and the San Jose Sharks are getting better across the board. Now, yesterday, not a perfect game by any means, but they did limit the shot attempts by Dallas. They outplayed Dallas in the first period in particular, in which they found themselves on the wrong end of a 2-0 scoreline. Yes, the San Jose Sharks still made mistakes throughout this game, but they found ways to get themselves back into it. They didn't chase the game. One of the things we've seen with San Jose against teams that are as talented as Dallas, Washington, Tampa Bay, Vegas, Colorado, you can go down the list of these top-tier upper echelon teams in the NHL, is that they are fast away from the puck, and San Jose kind of gets a little bit scrambly, gets caught chasing the puck out there, then gets to chucking the puck around, puts themselves in bad situations. The first goal they allowed from Iorio, that was just a bad turnover. Sometimes that happens in sports. It just is a part of the game. You'd like to see it eliminated. You know that you don't want to see those mistakes replicate themselves, but I feel like that's a mistake the Sharks have not been committing for a while. Last year, we saw those turnovers at the blue line consistently where the Sharks would give it up and it would go the other way or in the neutral zone or in their own ends trying to get it out. That's not been a consistent factor this year. But, you know, the mistakes were handled and the Sharks did not get away from their game. They kept on trying to play the game they set out to play because I think they knew after the first period when they found themselves down by a pair that they had done a lot of things right. And if they stuck to that, they'd be able to find their way back into the game. And that's exactly what they did. Now, they didn't know they'd have to do that twice. They didn't know they'd have to find themselves a two-goal comeback on two different occasions. But this is something that we really have seen, and I find it very fascinating. Going back to that game against Toronto, going back to that game against Pittsburgh, is when the Sharks flip that switch, when they really start to rev at a higher RPM, and they might not be as fast as Tampa as of yet, and I know that they're not quite where Vegas is. I mean, listen, they might beat Vegas today. I don't know. I'm just saying that they don't have that overwhelming power as of yet. But the Sharks have created the ability in multiple games to just flip momentum completely in their favor. And when they do get a little bit of a push, when they do get a little bit of a nudge and they start rolling downhill, teams don't know what to do with it. Now, the Sharks have not been able to consistently create that momentum. That's the next step for them as a franchise, as a team, to try and take that next step to be a team that just dominates games, that can do it when called upon, whenever they need it. They can just suddenly tilt the ice, hammer the team. But you saw that again yesterday, to where when the Sharks were down, they were able to A, take advantage of the power play, B, tilt the ice in their favor, and C, execute upon the opportunities that were presented to them. The Sharks had their first four power play goal games since 2010, which is unbelievable. They've had multiple power play goals in the last two games, six in their last two games, if we want to be accurate. But this is a team that is now becoming opportunistic, and it's not just opportunistic occasionally, it's consistently. Whether it's Gaudette showing in two consecutive games that he can play the tip, whether it's Igor Chernyshov getting in on very nice plays and making very nice passes to set up a Jeff Skinner who is suddenly coming back to life, whether it's Tyler Toffoli and his offensive game coming back to life. I know yesterday was still a three-point game for Macklin Celebrini, but you're watching the contributions come all over the place, and that's what you need in a team like the San Jose Sharks, to where they are not, at least at this point, what we would believe to be a true contender, but they are starting to show more and more of what they can do across the board. Tyler Toffoli, two goals and an assist. Macklin Celebrini, three assists. Adam Gaudette, a goal and an assist. Jeff Skinner, a goal. Dmitry Orlov, an assist. Alex Wenberg, a goal. Eklund, an assist. Dickinson, an assist. Dickinson, by the way, that was a sick slap pass to put down low for Gaudette to tip. Then you have Igor Chernyshov coming up with an assist. You have Colin Graf coming up with an assist. All of these guys together getting in on it and helping the Sharks fight their way to a win. And I know that I heard some people say on social media that Alex Nedeljkovic was not on his A game. You know, guys, at least two of those goals, he was put in a very, very difficult situation. So I'm not holding that one against him. And I think if you give up two goals against the Dallas team like the Stars, that's not on you. That's just kind of what reality is in the NHL. They're a very, very dangerous team. But, you know, the San Jose Sharks, it's not just the heroics of a Macklin Celebrini, right? They're doing this with team-wide contributions, and they're watching guys step up to the moment. You know, and the game was critical when you have it going back and forth at the end of the regulation. What does Alex Nedeljkovic do? He steps up and makes a massive, massive save. And you didn't see guys making the same mistakes that they were earlier in the game. Sharks had 31 shots on goal. That, again, is another high shot volume game for them, something they have not been doing consistently, but they did it throughout the game. They did it across the board with a number of players. They didn't lose, or they didn't win the faceoff battle. They lost that, but they did win the special teams battle. They killed two penalties, and they scored two-thirds of their opportunities, four out of six on the day. If you win the special teams battle, you're doing about 90% of the work to get a win in the NHL, I would say, consistently. But the fact that the Sharks scored four out of the six power play goals they were had the opportunity to score, that is absolutely massive. And you also have to put a lot of that on Dallas, who the Sharks put in bad positions to keep on getting those reaching penalties. You don't get those by being a team where you don't keep your feet moving, where you don't make them work. You're essentially tiring out the opposition and putting them in a situation where they have to reach out, where they have to slash or grab or wrap you up or interfere or whatever it's going to be. That means you're doing the right thing. That means you are outplaying and out-hustling the opposition, of which I saw consistently from the opposition. And then we get to the fact that the Sharks, again, going back to that opportunistic nature, is that there have been many times in the last few years where the Sharks have quite simply not finished on their opportunities. And I don't know how much more clear-cut it can be than that, but you would watch them and you think, my God, if this team could finish. If they could finish, they would have three more goals, they'd walk away with a win. You combine that with their ability this year to win these one-goal games, and people might say, well, Ted, they got to take it into overtime. It doesn't matter. They have to be able to win those games in general. It doesn't matter if it's in overtime. Doesn't matter if it's in a shootout. Win the game. Walk away with 2 points. Well, now they're having a better chance of finishing, or doing it better at least lately, and they are capitalizing upon these one-goal games. Power play is performing at a very high level, and the San Jose Sharks, in any given moment of a game, are very, very dangerous. And you put out the fourth line, and you have Ostapchuk, you have Reeves, you have Goodrow. Even those three guys, they are still creating opportunities, and they're doing their job. We talk often in the NHL about rolling four lines out there, and a big part about that is not just that all four lines can score, of which they can, but it's about all four lines knowing exactly what they're being asked to do and doing exactly just that. We saw in the first period how good that top line was going to look, and I can't even imagine what it might look like if we get Will Smith back on that top line with Macklin Celebrini and Igor Chernyshov, because I think having, you know, Chernyshov and his wing speed, Macklin Celebrini's ability to burst up the middle, and Will Smith's ability to float out in space, I think that is very, very dangerous. I know that you can say, well, Ted, William Eklund has been very good. I think William Eklund can be good wherever he goes, but I also think that you can put him on a second line and have him be a little bit more of a line driver next to a guy like an Alex Wenberg, who is not necessarily as much of a, you know, get between the dots driver type guy, even though he does have very good speed, which he's been showing consistently this year. But the fact of the matter is the Sharks are about to get Michael Mesa back. They're about to get Will Smith back. They're finding themselves with a little bit of logjam of players, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all. And I know you can kind of think to yourself of, oh, how are they going to figure this out? It doesn't matter specifically. I think what matters is that the San Jose Sharks have a remarkable depth at the forward position, to where you have Adam Gaudette, who looks like he has the ability to be a 20-goal scorer. You know, obviously he had, I believe, 18 or 19 a year ago, but he has the ability to get towards 20 goals. It's only a matter of time before Will Smith gets to that mark. You know, we look at Alex Wenberg. He's having a very, very productive season. He's having a tremendous, you know, start to 2026. Olympic selection. He is scoring goals. He's registering assists. He's getting new contracts. He's having a great 2026 so far. The year of the Wenberg, as the San Jose Sharks just keep on winning games. But all these guys are performing at a very high level. And then you combine that with the fact that Sam Dickinson is starting to grow up before our very, very eyes. He's starting to feel a little bit more confident on the ice. His defense is getting better. He's had a number of poke checks as of late that he wasn't getting earlier this year. I know it's disappointing that Shakir Mukhmudulin continues to battle the injury bug, or get bit by the injury bug, however you want to view it. But on the other hand, you do have Sam Dickinson, who is moving forward with his career, who is showing more and more on the defensive side, who is continuing to show that offensive side. And if you watched him, you know, play last year, you saw what he was able to do as an offensive player, and be a player that really sees the ice out there, moves the puck. I think that once he gets more comfortable in the NHL, and I think it's happening very, very rapidly, you're going to see the Sharks start to be that much more dangerous. And then also, a guy who's been a big part of their penalty kill, Vinny Desharnais, is making his way back onto the ice as well. And then John Klingberg, who has also, you know, been a big part of the Sharks' offensive game, he's getting back. And Ty Dellandrea might be a while before he gets back, but, you know, that's another one that the Sharks will deal with when they get there. You know, Ty Dellandrea, unfortunately, he's going to be out for a bit, but the Sharks have been able to call up guys and have depth and take advantage of situations, whether it's been, you know, an Adam Gaudette getting his opportunity, a Pavel Regenda, who creates chances game in, game out. I know he isn't scoring with the same frequency that he did with 6 goals in his first 5 games, but you don't accidentally score at that rate. You do that because you're a very good player in the NHL, and he's doing it with consistency, created opportunities. You know, just watching him be a guy who they acquired in a trade that nobody was particularly looking at, and watching him perform at such a high level, it's very, very fun to watch, because he's consistently creating those opportunities. If you do that, they will go in. That I have no doubts. And watching his game continue to perform, watching Tyler Toffoli starting to heat back up, who's had an up and down season up to this point, William Eklund, he's just consistently scoring points. You know, this is a Sharks team that has a lot of offense, and the defense, they're still in the process of figuring it out, but, you know, they're winning at home most consistently. If you look at their record right now, they are 13-8-3 at home. That's where that 2 games over .500 comes from, because they're 10-10 away from home ice. They have won 3 in a row. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They are third place in the Pacific Division. They are 1 point clear of the Kraken and the Kings, who occupy the first and second spots in the Western wild card. and it's very tightly, you know, notched right now. You go down to St. Louis, who has 42 points. That is a, you know, 3 or 4 game win streak right away from being in the wild card spot with another team having a little bit of a sleepy stretch. But the San Jose Sharks team, guys, they keep on showing up in the big games. They keep on coming up with the big moments. It keeps on feeling like a special season. Obviously, we've got a long way to go. Today is game 45 against Vegas, which is another huge challenge. You're not going to pass every test when you're in your first year of making this monumental leap. But the San Jose Sharks just passed a big one yesterday by beating a top-tier upper echelon team like the Dallas Stars. The Dallas Stars are a team that has legitimate aspirations of winning a Stanley Cup. I know they've been a little bit cooler as of late, 3-3-4 in their last 10, but they are also right there in the thick of things for a reason. You know, Colorado Avalanche have 73 points. They're out in space, but 61 points, if we put that, you know, against the top teams in the East right now, they're the first place of the Metro, and they're the first place of the Atlantic. So don't just think that because they're not up there with Colorado that they are not a very, very good team. And also, let's remind ourselves that that's 9 points better than what Vegas is right now, the top team in the Pacific Division. So the Sharks just took out one of the best teams in the NHL. They've beaten Colorado this year. They have beaten, obviously, Florida. They downed Winnipeg earlier this year when we didn't know that Winnipeg was kind of going in a tailspin. But they keep on defeating good teams. And now, Vegas tonight, this is a big, big challenge for San Jose. But what if they answer the challenge? Then what? Is the sky the limit? I don't know. But I do know we've got highlights. Let's hear what Ruzy had to say about all the actions that went down yesterday. It was Dallas taking the early lead against San Jose.
Off the faceoff. Watching some good hockey now. Iorio, uh-oh, lost it. Richkovian steals it. He's got a breakaway. He's into the zone. He shoots. He scores. Justin Richkovian, who was the beneficiary of a turnover by the goaltender Nedeljkovic back on December the 18th for the game winner, puts the Stars on the board after Iorio loses it on the point, and Richkovian's breakaway opportunity makes it 1-0 Dallas.
That was brutal because Iorio has been playing very well in the last few games, really taking big steps forward with his time with San Jose, and then suddenly he makes a mistake and you're down 1-0, even though you've been the better team up to that point of the period, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, don't let Dallas stretch this out, because we know what happens when these teams get an early lead on San Jose, these top-tier upper echelon teams in the NHL, and then those words you say to yourself come back to bite you, and all of a sudden the Sharks are staring at a 2-goal deficit.
Here come the Stars down the left side. Jason Robertson one-on-one with Letty. Looks like Letty's going to take a penalty here as the extra skater coming on. Robertson to Haskinen. Now to Hintz in front. Rantanen in the chance. Save Nedeljkovic. Rebound. Robertson scores. During a delayed penalty, Robertson puts the puck into the empty net. It was going to be a call against Nick Letty. It looked kind of like a borderline call to me, but they're calling it that way with the stick coming up into the hands. And so the result is a goal for Dallas. They lead 2-0, and it's Jason Robertson getting his 26th goal of the season.
So the Sharks have their work cut out for them, and I think that when you watch a team go down 2-0 despite outplaying the opposition, you probably hope that they are going to continue with that game plan, but the Sharks being a relatively inexperienced team, you just don't know. But first power play goal of the game, Alex Wennberg, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Tyler Toffoli, halves the deficit and puts the Sharks right back in this game.
Toffoli looks for the return feed. Back there, Lubushkin getting a piece of it. Dallas tries to clear Canott. Kept in by Orloff. Sends far boards. Nice keep in by Wennberg. Banks to Celebrini in the corner. He walks out to Wennberg. Shot, score! Alex Wennberg, a beautiful give and go with Macklin Celebrini. Celebrini now has a 13-game point scoring streak, and that's a big goal for Alex Wennberg. As Lindell's penalty is costly for Dallas, that makes the score of the Stars 2 and the Sharks 1.
Let there be life. The San Jose Sharks are right back in this game, and they weren't done. Jeff Skinner, assisted by Igor Chernyshov and Adam Gaudette. Gaudette took a crunching hit as he got this pass forward to Igor Chernyshov, who then drove towards the net, made a beautiful pass in traffic to Jeff Skinner, who was able to bury it for his 6th goal of the year. Suddenly, the San Jose Sharks have tied this game 2-2.
Gaudette up the middle, on the right, moving in. Chernyshov holds it, throws in front. Skinner, score! Chernyshov with a great burst of speed down the wing, barreling it in a determined fashion toward the net, spotted Skinner with his stick down, and all Jeff Skinner did was tip that puck. And that ties the game 2-2.
For those of you keeping track, that's 9 points in 10 games for Igor Chernyshov. the first 10 games of his NHL career. He is playing absolutely brilliantly, coming in on big-time plays for San Jose. And Jeff Skinner, we've been waiting for him to wake back up, and suddenly his offensive game is coming alive. A great finish. The Sharks have tied this game. Unfortunately, the San Jose Sharks would not hold on to that tie game for long enough. It was Kyle Capobianco with about 59 seconds remaining in the second period that gave Dallas a 3-2 lead, sucking a little bit of that life out of the building at SAP Center, which had come alive.
Graf tried to make the play there, but lost it. Dallas has a mini 2-on-1. Only Letty is back. Down the right, Capobianco moves in and scores! Kyle Capobianco, not exactly Jason Robertson, moving down the right wing side and getting it past Nedeljkovic to put Dallas in front 3-2 with just a little less than a minute remaining in the second period.
So that was a deflating moment because the Sharks had worked so hard to get themselves back into this game, and you just hope that they would be able to show some life in the third period, because sometimes you do know that if you work hard from a multi-goal deficit to come back and tie it and then you give up a late period goal, some of that energy, like I alluded to, is sucked out of the building, and then it's a rough dressing room as you go in for the break. But the San Jose Sharks were not done giving up goals, as it was about 8 minutes into the third period. Mikko Rantanen gives the Dallas Stars a two-goal lead for a second time in this game.
Big hit by Rantanen into the corner against those Stopchuk. Sharks can't clear, and Lundqvist the shot saved. Rebound poked at, score! Rantanen batted that one down out of the air. We'll see if it counts. It should, and that would make the score 4-2 Dallas, and that's just tremendous hand-eye coordination by one of the best players in the NHL.
By the way, what a goal by Rantanen, and just smacking that puck out of the air. Incredible eye-hand coordination. I know that that puts the Sharks at a two-goal deficit, but there was a large part of me that was just kind of like, dang, that was mighty impressive by Mikko Rantanen. But the Sharks, you can't count them out in any game, and they are well aware of it. They've come down from huge deficits this year. They've had huge moments. They've had Macklin magic. They've got a veteran in Tyler Toffoli and many, many others that have Stanley Cups as pelts on their wall. And it is Tyler Toffoli with a big-time goal on the power play to get the Sharks back into this game. 9:28 of the third period, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Dmitry Orlov. Suddenly, it's 4-3.
Wennberg to Celebrini. Back to the right point. Orlov to the middle. Celebrini takes it, holds it, throws to the net. Toffoli, score! Wow, what a play by Macklin Celebrini, delayed for just a split second, and Toffoli got a stick down, the pass right on the tape, and Tyler Toffoli makes it a one-goal game with the Sharks' third power play goal of the day.
It was shortly hereafter, as the Sharks were taking over this game and really putting Dallas on their heels, that Alan Hoshida at the NBC Studios looked at me and said, Dallas has to hate how this game is going right now. And I said, oh yeah, 100%. They are aware that San Jose has tilted the ice, and they have no pushback. They have no correction. They have no adjustment to make. They are simply being outplayed and outworked out there on the ice. The Sharks keep on pushing forward. 15:01 mark of the third. It's Adam Gaudette. Second consecutive game with a tip goal in front of the net, assisted by Sam Dickinson and Colin Graf. The San Jose Sharks, for a second time in this game, have worked back from a two-goal deficit, have tied the game, and the tank is rocking.
Dickinson fights for it. Now trailing the play, Gaudette provided the support. He shoots. It's deflected wide. Rebound, Graf is there. Sends it back. Sam Dickinson stops it. He shoots a tip. Score! Adam Gaudette tips the Sam Dickinson shot with 4:59 to play in the third. And the Sharks, on the strength of Gaudette's play, tie it 4-4.
Huge moment. Tank is alive. The San Jose Sharks, at this point, you have to be thinking to yourself, they're going to win this game. And I think they were thinking to themselves, we are going to win this game. But it would not be without its drama. Even before we got to overtime, we had some incredible back-to-back action with both the goalies coming up large.
Taken back by Duchesne. Now he goes to Rantanen. Rantanen moving in, throws to the slot, knocked away. Nice defensive play by Wennberg. And here comes Bregenda up the right side for the Sharks. He's powering his way toward the slot. He shoots, and a save by DeSmith. Oh no, it's going to be a breakaway the other way for Johnston. He moves in, and a great save by Nedeljkovic. Just got a little piece of it, knocked it wide.
I know it's not great for our collective hearts, as you heard Drew Remenda on the broadcast reference the fact that they needed a defibrillator up there just because of all the action. But if you're not having fun watching that game at that point, I don't know. If that's only misery for you in those tense games, you need to lighten up, because that was absolutely phenomenal action. It's what the NHL is so good at. Back and forth action, the game opening up at critical moments, two teams vying for wildly important points, and it goes overtime. But wow, what a finish in regulation, and what a finish in overtime, as the San Jose Sharks earn a power play, and then you get 71 to 72 to 73, game winner, game over, 2 points, the Sharks win yet again.
Celebrini on the attack across the line, whips it rink wide to the right side, Toffoli back to Wennberg now on the point. Feeds it right side to Eklund. He's up on the blue line. Eklund moving to his left, drifting it off to his right. There's Celebrini, top of the right circle, stick handling, shooting, save made. There's a rebound in front, poked at. It pops back to Toffoli. He shoots it, save. Rebound not cleared out, Celebrini feeds it over to Eklund. Now to Toffoli, blast it. He scores! Tyler Toffoli in overtime. And the San Jose Sharks have defeated the Dallas Stars 5-4. And the miracles continue at SAP Center, and the fans love it.
Yet another overtime win for the San Jose Sharks, and that was the narrative entering this year. Win those one-goal games, you'll put yourself in the playoff conversation. What have the San Jose Sharks done this year? Overwhelmingly won those tight one-goal games, and they find themselves at third in the Pacific, and a big, big game today against the team at the top of the division, just a few points ahead of them. And it's January 11th. It's game 45 of the season. We keep on getting later and later into the year, and the Sharks aren't just clawing to stay alive in the wild card race. They are surging forward. Let's hear some post-game reaction. Let's hear what Tyler Toffoli had to say after he buried that game winner.
Well, I mean, I don't know how he saved the first one. My first shot there, whatever, hit a stick, and I think knocked it out of his hand, whatever it was. And just Mac, really good play to Ecky. And, I mean, he could have shot and probably scored himself, and I was open, and I was just trying to get it on net, and fortunately went in.
What a blast, what a shot. My favorite part of that play is that you can see him just loading, cocking that gun of a slap shot, waiting for that puck to get to him. He had his stick up in the air for so long, and as I saw that, I said, oh, Toffoli's gonna bury this, and he buried it. He also just talked about the team overall.
Yeah, we definitely stuck with it, and obviously we had a lot of power plays, but I thought we earned all of them, and did a really good job of using our speed, holding on to pucks, and that was a game that, you know, what we talked about doing, we executed.
And that's what I keep on coming back to, is that even though they were down by multiple goals on multiple instances within this game, they were still doing so much right that you felt it would yield the proper result. I have a long-time suspicion that hockey rewards the team that outworks the other, and it's one of the things that I enjoy so much about the sport, is because it does, I feel, reward hard work, and it's what's been so frustrating about watching the Sharks these last few years, because there have been so many games where the Sharks did outwork their opposition, yet only find themselves a maddeningly painful way to lose a game, which was... it was influenced by multiple factors, most notably the lack of talent on the ice compared to the opposition. But in games lately, they are being rewarded for that hard work, and their mistakes are not doing them in entirely, because they have the talent to overcome the mistakes that they've made out there on the ice. And as Tyler Toffoli said, they earned everything they got yesterday because they were outworking the opposition. They forced them into making all those penalties and giving the Sharks 6 opportunities on the power play, of which they buried 4. Again, in case you missed it earlier, they haven't had a 4-goal power play game, I should specify, since 2010. That is over a decade and a half ago, guys. That doesn't happen by accident. Let's hear what head coach Ryan Warsawski had to say about this game.
Yeah, the guys did a good job of just competing and playing and playing through things. You know, they scored to make it 4-2. It could have easily went away. And credit to the group for digging in and finding a way. I thought, you know, in total, I thought we played a pretty good hockey game. Just a couple mistakes here and there. They were in the back of our net. So for us to come back and get rewarded, good crowd, good energy in the building, happy for the group.
And the energy in the building tonight is going to be remarkable once again. I don't know if they're score 4 power play goals, but you have to imagine with Vegas in town and maybe that rivalry heating back up, as they all do when you're a competitive to good team in the NHL, We've got a lot of fun in store for us later today, but he was asked about the power play and said you could kind of see this coming.
Yeah, I think it's been kind of, you could see it kind of grow here the last few games as far as the chemistry of it. They're starting to feed off each other, understand where they're going to be. That's been the biggest thing.
All right, we are just about out of time. The San Jose Sharks taking on the Vegas Golden Knights tonight at 5 from SAP Center. 4:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Be sure to check out the Sharks Audio Network on-demand podcast for some pregame coverage, as I will be talking with Curtis Pashelka a little bit later today about what we've seen from San Jose and what he thinks about this game going into Vegas. So we're excited for that. The Sharks, again, they've won 3 in a row yet again. I know they haven't won more than 3 or 4 in a row this year, but if they keep on winning 3 out of 4, they're going to find themselves in a very good position when all is said and done. Long way to go. Hard not to be excited right now. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.